So we're on this journey called Spirit-Led, and I talked to you last about being twice born, last Sunday, about being born again, and so this week we're heading into another area called the Table of Adoption, and Galatians 4 verse 5 says this, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Adoption. We know that all over the world, everybody knows that the royal family had another baby, and it's a girl this time, and they've changed the laws and everything so that the girl can become queen if that happens down the road. There has to be kind of a mass disaster for her to end up as a queen right now, so we hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, it's interesting because I don't know whether you ever thought about it. I thought it'd be kind of cool to be adopted into their family. Because there's a lot of perks go with that family, right? I mean, you don't have to worry about paycheck, right? You don't have, I always wanted to walk in a castle, let alone live in one. I would like to just travel all over the world. I'd like to take a helicopter pilot's license. I would like to do that kind of stuff. So sometimes we kind of look at it and we go, wow, you know, if I could just be adopted into that family, maybe even think about that because you think, well, I wish I was born in another country, or I wish I was adopted to somebody in another country because my life would be so different. Listen, that is all understandable, but the thing that we need to understand is that God has adopted us into his family. And there are not even as many perks in the royal family as there is in the royalist family of Jesus Christ. You have all your needs met. Plus, you have a purpose. Plus, not only did you receive the adoption into that family, you received the adoption into that family through the one who created everything in this world. Can you comprehend that? Like, or do you just kind of go, well, I go to church on Sunday and I know I'm going to heaven. Just think about that. We talked since I've been here, and I know you've heard lots of sermons on this, that the God of creation lives inside of you. Go figure. He lives inside of you. You don't have to make an appointment to see him. You don't have to perform and so that he'll like you. You don't have to have anything in your position because Christ has come into your life because you've asked him to. You are adopted into his family, and you have all the perks that God has for his family. And you know what that means? That you have total freedom to not to worry and not to fret. And this world has lots to worry about and lots to fret about. We live in the family. We're adopted into that family. So let's just take a little look at this. Is there a reason that those doors are closed? Because it turned real dark all of a sudden. Can they be opened? What's that? It's noisy. Well, what can I say? Probably nothing would be nice, right? I don't like it when the light doesn't come in. That's just me. So let's look at this Galatians chapter 4. In verse 4 it says, but when the set time had come fully, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. You got to understand that is significant in our belief system. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. You see, the law was given, and Pastor Brown talked about this last Sunday. The law was given, and it was in a way that you had to follow the law to be acceptable. And then Jesus came not to put the law away, but to supersede it with grace. And so you cannot, maybe some of you can, uphold all the law. Even in traffic in Richmond, when you get squeezed, thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. I don't think you'd probably do that, but you'd find other words. Substitute words. Don't we use them? They're the same. You know that? You can use, Shazam. You know what Shazam is? You don't want to know. Yes, you do know. Shazam is just another word. And so we cannot go through this life without breaking a law. But you know what we can do is when we do that, we can come to Christ and say, you know what, I messed up. Will you forgive me? And then he'll give you also the strength not to mess up again. Man, I'll tell you, I am a different guy. And Elaine would know this from the time when we were first married. I was a real angry guy. Real angry. And since I came to Christ and he's done some work over the last 30-some years or 40 years, I'll tell you, there's been a change. I don't get as mad as I used to. One of the significant times is I had this pickup truck, a 1956 Ford pickup, sitting in my driveway because I couldn't figure I could go to school and get a degree and have this truck and rebuild it too, and I really wanted this truck, but I had to put it out there for sale. This guy drives in and he goes, he had this nice Jeep, you know, with the tops all down, and they're kind of a macho guy, and he goes, how much you want for the truck? And I says, well, make me an offer. He says, well, if I make you an offer, he says, you'll get mad. I said, no, make me an offer. He says, no, you'll get mad. And I said, make me an offer. And so he made me an offer, and I said, no, and then he got mad. And he backed out of my driveway and sprayed rocks all over my truck and my house and everything. He was mad. I wasn't mad. At one time, I would have hauled him out of the Jeep and said, what do you think this is for? That, you know, that's worth more than that. But I'm different now. Although I still can do that, can I? Real easy. It just the files are still there. You need to understand something, that Christ has redeemed us so that we don't have to follow the law. Now, oh yeah, we should follow the law, but not because it's convicting, but because the Holy Spirit living inside of us is convicting. Do you understand that? It's not a list of things you check off. It's a lifestyle that you have now. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit. Hear that? The Spirit who calls out through us, Abba, Father. Now, I never call my dad father. Some cultures, you call him father. And my dad wasn't a father. My dad was a dad. And so I called him dad. One time when I was about 5 years old, I called him by his first name. I thought my mom was calling him. He said, hey, Phil, come on over here. And I was in the yard, and I said, hey, Phil, come over. And he did, right away. And when he was done, I didn't sit down for a while, but I never called him Phil again. That was not something I did. So this thing here is Abba, Father. This is a relationship. You got a dad. You got a dad that wants to hang out with you. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And because of the Spirit of God, we're adopted. You imagine that? And you're adopted into a family that created everything, that has provision for everything that you have need of. He can move a mountain. He's mighty to save. And you can call him dad. This isn't something you have to perform. Sometimes we do that. We kind of think, well, you know what? God doesn't really like me because I messed up today. Or actually, I don't really trust him. I don't really like him. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I've been really ticked with God. Oh, wow. Like, some people are ticked with God and they don't tell him. Like, I bet he's guessing. Really, he knows when you're ticked. So just get it out. An amazing thing is you can get it out in front of God. You can say, you know, I'm really ticked with you. You've been messing my life up. You've been doing this. You've been doing that. You haven't answered my prayers. You answered those other people's prayers. You know what? I'm a little hurt. And he doesn't go, you know what? You better calm down or you're going to get shot with an arrow full of sulfur. He doesn't do that. He hears you out. He hears you out and then he says, you know what? I love you. Because sometimes we just need to vent. And you can vent around your dad. You can vent. And he'll hear you. And when you're finished venting, he'll hold you. He'll hold you. And you'll squiggle and squirm because you don't want to be held. You don't think you should be held. And he'll hold you. and he'll bring healing in your heart. I love this story. Cambridge, Kentucky, some like 14 years ago, there was, it was the Second Awakening, it was called. It happened in the United States, as it was known at that time, a colony of states. And the Presbyterians had this communion that they would have. And actually, they would go away for 3 days, and they Friday, Saturday, they would have just meetings. And they started this in the old country in Scotland, and then they would just have communion, and they would set a table out, and I tried to set the tables out here, but it didn't work in our church, in the shape of a cross, and 100 people would sit around there at a time, and they'd take communion all day Sunday. And in this particular revival, there was about 800 to 1,100 people took communion, but there was 10 to 20,000 people that gathered there. So figure that, 1800s, no RVs. There was no water, and there was very little food. And so everything had to be brought in, and they brought it in by covered wagons. And you can imagine, like, 20,000 people in a field in those days, in August. And there was such a powerful move of God when they were doing their traditional ritual of communion that God spoke into their lives. People were slaying in the spirit, and they're roaring like lions and jerking like chickens, and it was just like scary, dude. Have you ever seen that? I've been in those kind of meetings where people are chirping and barking and scary. People I know doing that, laughing like you wish. They're laughing so much they can't stand up. They're drunk in the spirit. You just go, like, how could that be? This happened 214 years ago in a little place called Cambridge, Kentucky. There were so many people there that got saved that the Presbyterians would only let somebody preach if they had a degree. You had to have a master's degree at that time to be a Presbyterian ministry. But John Wesley, with the Methodist movement, said, if you can stand up after you're saved, you're a preacher. That's it. That was the only qualification. If you can stand up, you got your testimony, you know the power of God. And there was a revival that broke out. There were people that were standing on stumps and preaching. There was people that were just there for the party too. They had no intention of getting saved or going to church or anything. They just wanted to get drunk and have a big blast because there's all these people out in the bush. It's a bush party for them. One guy on a horse was really drunk, and he saw a bunch of people holding hands praying, and he's going to ride his horse right through them and knock them down. He took off at a full gallop from a ways away, and he got right up there, horse stopped. I don't know whether you've been on a horse, but when the horse stops and you're going at a full gallop, you do not. All right? I have a nice scar on my head here from that. I smashed into a tree. I've been throwing off a lot of horses. So this guy tumbled right into the middle of the prayer line. That's a good place to be in the middle of the prayer circle when you're being a jerk. A drunken jerk, and I've been there before too. Can you imagine? That's what happened when God moves in places where we gather to hear him, to see him, to feel his presence. So I just love that story, because from there, the whole thing, the Wesleyan Methodist movement moved throughout the United States and up into Canada. And then 100 years later, 1906, we had Azusa Street in California. And God revisited us again. And it changed the world. It literally changed the world. And then in the 1970s, the charismatic movement happened. And that literally changed the way we look at the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are in that today, people. We are in that, and he is inside of us. It's not a Pentecostal church because we belong to the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. It's a Pentecostal church because we have the Holy Spirit inside us. We believe that he can do all that he said he could do in the scriptures, and that he wants to use us, and he wants to bless us, and he wants to move in our lives so that we become effective, powerful people who believe in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's every one of you here. You might not think that. I'm too young, I'm too old, I just don't have enough education. Look at, if you can, my way of thinking is if you're saved and you can stand up and talk, you got a ministry. All right? So you can preach. Oh no, I can't, you can preach. Your story is his story, and people need to hear your story. There are some Baptists in there too. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians. They were never the same. They're never the same. I hope when you meet with Christ that you're never the same. So this communion is kind of interesting because it was a real good focus, real big focus. Presbyterians followed the Church of Scotland practice of fencing the table. And that's where they would give them tokens of permitting members to take communion only after being examined by a minister who vouched for their spiritual soundness by issuing them a token that admitted them into the celebration of the sacrament. And actually on the internet, they have pictures of these tokens, and I think there's a few still around. So what you'd have to do if you wanted to have communion this morning, you'd have to come and see me. Pastor Dan, Pastor Stephen. And you'd have to, you'd actually have to buy the token because they weren't given them free. So, well, it's a little fundraiser, isn't it? The church is just like, they're just wacko. Let's just charge for everything. So here, Pastor Dan, I think it should be all free bake sale. No, I'm just fooling. But you don't buy tokens to come to communion. And I don't examine your heart. It says actually in Corinthians, you examine your heart with the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, if there's anything in there that comes to light that you need to change it before you take that little cup. Honestly, you need to do that. And you know, I'm talking about my own self. I'm talking about others in here who just had some rough week, some things that happened, things that you just didn't handle very well, or some areas that you fell into sin. You need to examine yourself, and you need it between you and him. You don't need to come and see me. He's the priest. He's the high priest. You need to go see him. Because it was him that died on the cross for you. And I'll tell you, whatever you have, whatever it is, it could be attitude, it could be anger, it could be addiction, it could be relationships broken down. It could be financial problems and you didn't handle them right. It could be anything. And he'll take that and he'll cleanse you, because this is what this is all about. And you can walk out of here whole, cleansed, and reminded of the precious love that Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit have for you. Because you're invited. This is an invitation to the table through adoption. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now figure that one out. How many of you felt kind of holy and blameless while you're going through your pre-Christian days? Like, I wasn't near as bad as most people. I honestly didn't think I was. Like, I knew some people that were really bad. I hung around with them, but I kind of felt like a stabilizing factor in their lives. If it wasn't for me, they would have really gone bad. Sometimes we have this attitude that we kind of fit in a little better than somebody else. It doesn't matter whether you feel that you fit in or you do fit in or anything. It's not anything to do with any of that. It's all to do with that you are a sinner and Jesus Christ came to save you and died on the cross, gave his life for you, and it was by the adoption of the Holy Spirit, because it was the Spirit of God that that brought Jesus Christ into being so that he wouldn't have sinless blood when he offered it to God. So he wasn't born of a man and a woman. He is born conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he was absolutely without sin. He who had no sin was made sin on our behalf that we might be the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And this, he predestined, that's a good word, started a whole bunch of movements. For us, the adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ. You know what? He had a plan. I don't know how he could figure this, but he knew Jim Caruso would be born on that particular day that I was born in this world, and that on another day, all things would line up so that I would understand the love of Jesus through the Holy Spirit and come to him to be put in right standing with God through righteousness. So predestined, let's not get hung up on that. Predestined, God knows everything. Well, then he should change some things because he knows it's going to have... No. This isn't a play that he's put acts in and he can change it as it goes along. This is what he sees. This is what he knows. We have a lot of choices here. You can either accept him or not. You can either stay married or not. You can either work at this job or not. You can either put blue socks on or green socks. God doesn't care about what socks you put on. But he does care about you understanding that he has a plan for you right from the beginning. John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in Elizabeth's stomach. Now, I don't know. I've never been pregnant. I look sometimes like I am, but I've never been pregnant. So I know when our kids were kicking inside, it was kind of cool. You know, hey, look at her. You know, like, it was cool for me. It wasn't so cool for Elaine because it hurt. Sometimes it kicked the liver. Sometimes it kicked the heart. You know, push on the lungs. So they're in there doing this kind of thing. Can you imagine that this kid flips right over full of the Holy Spirit? That'd be awesome. Well, I think it'd be awesome. It's probably pretty cool for John. He didn't even know. So this is something that God had planned for us in accordance with his pleasure and will. It is his pleasure. Can you imagine that? It's his pleasure to the praise and the glorious grace of his glorious grace, which is he has freely given to us in the one he loves. We have an invitation to this table through adoption. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, while they're eating, or actually it's Matthew, while they're eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this and eat, it is my body. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Have you ever really thought about that? Like, we're going to have communion here, and they're going to have communion all over. We had communion at conference. We had communion at Easter and Good Friday. We had communion on Sunday. We've had communion like 4 times in the last 3 weeks, which is awesome. But Jesus has not had communion since that scripture because he's waiting for us, waiting for you and me to come home. Can you imagine what that'll be like? That really the words, it is finished, will really ring inside of us because we'll be standing in glory or seated in glory and he'll pass the cup around. I don't know whether it'll be, you know, grape juice. Welch's will do well when heaven, like that'll be their last sale. But they must be stocking lots of grape juice up there. I don't think they need to. I think God's going to have it all prepared. We'll need gluten-free, although we have it today, okay, on this side. So if you need gluten-free, and upstairs. But he's going to sit with us. All of us. And there isn't going to be anybody who's more special. I don't know how that works, because I can't see how this is going to configure the table. Like, they're all on one side for the picture with 12 of them. I don't know how they're going to do it with millions and millions and millions of people. But we're all going to be in the same proximity to our Lord. And he's going to be, hey, Jim, not hey, you. Did you know that? I struggle because there's so many of you beautiful people here. I'm still learning who you are, and both Elaine and I. And then sometimes somebody will shake my hand and I go, hi, what's your name? And it's somebody I already know. Just that the files don't come fast enough. I don't know what they are. But he doesn't have that problem because he knows you. He knew you before you were born. And when that day comes, we'll sit with him. And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I think we need to understand that when we have communion, we're going to have it in a few minutes here, that what we're doing is we're celebrating something that was so horrific that broke the power of darkness. Do you understand that? This wasn't a warm, fuzzy feeling, this communion supper. Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to die. And they're going, no, you're not, Jesus. We'll protect you. We'll all buy a sword. We'll protect you. And he said, no, I have to die. I have to die so that my blood can be shed, so that I can walk into the throne room of my Father and lay it down and say, it is finished. Once and for all, it says in Hebrews. Once for all. And then John writes this in Revelation. He says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Simon just was at his daughter's wedding. Beautiful girl, I bet. Radiant, beautiful. I remember when Leslie got married, and when Dan married Melissa, the tears flowed down because of the beauty. I remember when Elaine and I got married. It was just like, this is the most beautiful person in your life. And Christ said, I'm ready to catch up my bride. I'm ready to catch up my bride. And I think she's beautiful. Not because of what we've done, not because of what we can give him, but because the Holy Spirit has moved inside of us, adopted us, given us sonship and daughtership because of the forgiveness of sins. Made herself ready. Are you ready?